Hello to everyone, and I want to call to order the Oceano Community Services District with the Board of Directors on Wednesday, November 12, 2025. And this is our regular meeting. So let us have the roll call, please.
Thank you. Director Austin.
Here.
Director Joyce Sonnison.
Here.
Director Villa.
Here.
Vice President Rose.
Here.
And President Gibson.
Here. Okay, we'll do the flag salute. Aileen, you want to do the flag salute?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, agenda review. Does anyone have any changes to agenda review?
No.
No. Mr. Schultz, should we discuss closed session now or later?
I'll do the reporting right now. I thought maybe there was a slot for it, but I don't see it.
I don't either, so.
Perfect. Prior to tonight's regular session, the board met in closed session and discussed two items. The items were the evaluation of the general manager and the compensation for the general manager. As to both those items, no action was taken that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now, do we have any public comment for items not on the agenda? Now's the time to come forward.
Good evening, everybody. I want to make a quick comment on this topic that's near and dear to my heart, and that is that we have more information about what's going on at the South County Sanitation District. And so I put together a quick list of some changes that I'd like you to consider, which would, one, be adopt a bylaw or policy position that sets parameters as to how OCSD directors appointed to other agencies or committees report back to the whole body. Another one would be to stipulate that directors can discuss in open meeting their opinions or recommendations regarding a topic under consideration that impacts the OCSD, and the appointed director may refrain from participating in the discussion. And also to consider a requirement for director discussion of any item which exceeds $25,000. Adopt a policy saying that the sanitation district rep in general advocates for studying, seeking grants, and pursuing the eventual relocation and upgrade of the treatment plant to a new location out of the coastal zone and create recycled water for additional resiliency and supply by 2050, and that all OCSD directors and senior staff receive public meeting notices from the sanitation district, meaning you just get signed up to receive the agendas. Everybody gets them. Thank you very much for considering that.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else like to come up? Okay. Not seeing anyone else, we'll close public comment. And now we'll move to special presentations and reports. So the Sheriff's South Station.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Anthony Hernandez. I'm a sergeant at Sheriff's South Station. As far as calls for service, in October 1st through October 31st, we had 316 calls for service. In 2024, we had 339. That included 8 assault calls, 18 disturbances, 2 burglaries, 4 thefts, 4 vandalisms, 0 mail thefts, 2 phone scams, 15 suspicious circumstance calls. The deputies concluded 37 enforcement stops and 6 patrol checks. Are there any further questions?
What phone scams are going around now?
Right now, I don't think there's too many phone scams. I think they're more related to internet-based crimes. We're seeing fraudulent activity through email and an array of different types of circumstances kind of associated to that. Okay. Some of the biggest things probably fall through is just confirming that the email addresses are actual corporate email addresses rather than something that may or may not be totally true and more on the fictitious side.
They target people my age.
Predominantly, it's anyone and everyone, all age groups. They just basically send out a numerous amount of emails or different sources, Amazon, any of those, PayPal, Zelle, several of those types, where they can try and get into the financial side of things.
Yeah, and they're convincing, too, I think.
Yes. Just be very cautious, and if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not. So.
Okay.
All righty. Well, thank you all for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Is there somebody? Okay. And let's see. I don't see Fire Chief Hallett. Okay, so we'll go to Mr. Maricino in Utility Systems.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 80.1% full, which is 39,610 acre-feet. We had zero sewer system overflows last month. We got delivered just over 50 acre-feet of surface water, and we pumped just under a half acre-foot just for water quality samples. So we're continuing to do the daily rounds, weekly and monthly samples. We had 17 work orders. We have an extremely high number of USAs, underground service alerts. As you probably noticed, there's a lot of poles going in. So there's a company out there drilling in, putting in new power poles right next to the other ones. Every pole that they do is a USA ticket that we got to go out there and mark. And those are getting installed, by my understanding, for the fiber optic infrastructure that they're going to be boring as soon as those poles go in. So a lot of USAs, 53 of them. 15 customer service calls. We had 3 after-hours call-outs. One was for our building for the rain. They have a drain over there at the old fire station, and we had to clean that out and jet it. So I did, so this doesn't happen again. I put it on our sewer lateral program so we can just maintain it, especially before the rain starts and maybe at the end of the rainy year, so we can keep an eye on it so it doesn't back up again. The other call out was an after-hours unlock. And then just give you, I had a water quality call out. I had a customer give me a call when I was on call complaining of foamy water and salt in the water taste, and her dog got sick. It's all a water quality issue. We take a report, and I do submit it to the state every month. But just to give you a little background, we had a service line break, and it was her service line that we replaced 2 weeks earlier so I could understand where she came from, which we got that completely replaced with a brand new service, slurry backfill, and we paved. So once I showed up at her property, asked a few questions, she showed me the foamy. Basically, my question for her was the water softener unit. Does she have a water softener unit? Yes, she does. When was the last time you maintained it? Mm-hmm. Never had maintenance done to it, just add salt. So it failed. And I did a follow-up with her on Monday and told her to put it in bypass, and that's resolved the issue. So she's going to leave it in bypass until she gets somebody out there to do some maintenance. So we did resolve the water quality issue. Still continue to replace meters as needed. And as for the CIP, the door hangers, the valve turning, the pressure test, the back tees, we are completely done with that. The infrastructure, the CIP is complete. So basically all they have to do is finish the surface, you know, the paving and everything. But the infrastructure and all our time for the door hangers and everything, shut off notices, is complete. So they just got to do the surface stuff to finish out that CIP project. We had oil changes on two of the vehicles with some tires, and we did a smog on one of the vehicles, and I completed the bar report to the Bureau of Automotive because we had a vehicle get smogged. Once we get all our vehicles smogged for that year, we report to the Bureau of Automotive Repair. Dead-end flushing for samples. We're continuing to pick up trash. We had some at the 1800 block of 17th Street and the 2100 block of Beach, plus 3 311 tickets that the customers called in. We had to cover the office a few times. We demoed 2 different vacuum trucks. And when we demoed these vacuum trucks, there was a location on Railroad that the general manager will explain to you. We're getting an inserta valve installed, so we actually use these vacuum trucks, see what they can do, but we used it to the district's, you know, advantage to actually put them to work and see them work, but it's for a purpose. So we got hands-on training on them just to get an idea of what two different brands are out there and what features they have. We completed our fog inspections on all the restaurants, the Fats Oils and Grease. We replaced both of the check valves down at the lift station, and since we've done that, there's been no issues with the lift station. It's operating great. They're both installed. They took about 6 hours each for two different guys in a confined space, which is nice because the lift station's running great. No more alarms. First of the month equipment runs. As I told you before, we started sewer jetting, and we also did a nighttime evolution on Highway 1. It's a lot easier for traffic control at night. Got all the Highway 1 done. It started at 1 in the morning last Friday. So they're going to continue on with the sewer jetting to get that complete per our SSMP by the end of the year. Multiple concrete and asphalt runs for recycling. So PFAS, we had PFAS sampling. One was for the UCMR, the unregulated contaminant monitoring rule, which is the EPA. And the second PFAS testing was for the state. So we did that the past couple weeks. Same test, just two different agencies. And we had an employee attend a two-day preparation class so he could take his T2. Any questions?
Anyone on the board?
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Maricino and Mr. Brown, our GM.
Thank you, President Gibson. Members of the board, Mr. Maricino's report was quite thorough, and some of that goes over your head and some of it goes over my head. But I did want to say that in the last month and a half, he and his team have done some pretty strong work in terms of the lift station repairs that were causing us a lot of problems. It was a matter of getting the time and the parts, and those guys went in there and did the replacement themselves. We didn't have a contractor do it, and I'm happy to hear the lift station is working excellently. I've been a part of demoing multiple Vactor trucks in multiple jurisdictions, and what I like about Mr. Maricino's approach is that he asked these folks that want to sell us a $400,000 or $500,000 or $600,000 piece of a new equipment. Typically what they do is they come to your yard or to your parking lot and they show you how everything works. Well, Mr. Maricino said, well, do that. Give me the 60 to 90 minute talk on how all the parts work, but also let's go in the field. Show me how it flushes one of our sewer lines. How long of an extension does it go? Show me how it can extract and dig a hole that we need for a valve replacement. So in both cases, he and his team put the actual folks that showed up to work. And that really gives us a better understanding of a piece of equipment and which one would be best fitting for our district. And then the last thing that he mentioned in terms of the CIP project, we're replacing five water lines with a $600,000 grant. Since he's been back, he's corrected a few issues in terms of hydrants and water lines, and his oversight of that project has been really helpful in the last month to ensure that it closes out properly. So just wanted to take a moment to give Mr. Maricino and his team some kudos, because those things wouldn't have been done without his input. And then on to my GM report. As he mentioned, we do have a contractor performing a hot tap into our water system using an InstaValve technology, which is unique because it adds a new valve that enables us to control the mains and not have to shut off water on the entire west side, but it adds the valve while the line is live. We have some issues over there on Railroad where some of our valves aren't working right now, and we're going to get those replaced. But I'm interested to see how that technology works out for us tomorrow. I think the guys are going to be working in the rain. And as we mentioned, the CIP project is about 95% complete. Pavement restoration and punch list items are remaining, and we've begun the reimbursement process with the county. And we're also looking to save money on pavement restoration by taking advantage of an already mobilized county contractor to micro-seal Truman and Mendel. So that's going to help us. The county's already doing a lot of pavement work. You may have seen them on Price Candy and other areas of the county. And we're taking advantage of their contractor to do some of that work for us on some of our newly installed water lines. I want to update the board that this summer we submitted an application to the Water Board for $1.8 million in grant funds to rehabilitate Tank 2. and unfortunately, the state's intended use plan criteria changed, and that project is no longer eligible for the state revolving fund. What I did is I called up some of my contacts at the Water Board, and the good news is I've opened up a discussion with the Water Board staff since there is new criteria related to supporting water agencies that are undergoing consolidation, which we are. We're consolidating the Halcyon, Kenmare, and the two other mobile home parks. And what the state says is if you're consolidating currently, there's additional funds available. And I said, well, our primary need is this tank rehab. Is that potentially fundable within the cap for the consolidation? And they said yes. So I'm looking to see if that $1.8 million can get rolled into the $9.4 that we've been awarded already. So I'll keep the board updated on my work to secure those funds for us. Our two new utility workers were not both available to come in and meet the board, but Dean and Chris are shooting for the first meeting in the new year to attend a board meeting and meet you all. And I will say that both are picking up the OCSD way rapidly, and they're contributing significantly to the team already. I've been participating in the county's water management group in several meetings this past month, which have evaluated four project proposals, and it has been recommended that the county board approve about $500,000 each for the City of San Luis Obispo and Heritage Ranch Community Services District for water quality and supply improvements. That's the same funding source that we got for the project that we're finishing up right now. The NCMA technical group continues to meet regularly and has begun outreach with the NMMA in Napomo for a better understanding of their groundwater use, which has impact on our groundwater. And we have a meeting scheduled with the city managers and myself to review the NCMA strategic plan next month, and then we'll bring that to the board for consideration and adoption, a new strategic plan for the NCMA. Two more items. Last week I attended the IWMA Solid Waste Summit, and I learned a great deal about what's going on with local actions and sustainability, and had a chance to meet and interact with the new IWMA Executive Director, Kobe Skye. And then lastly, I wanted to bring the board's attention that the APCD, the Air Pollution Control District, has reached out to OCSD staff and the Oceano Depot Association since they're interested again in installing EV charging at the depot on district-owned property. This would be done at no cost to the OCSD or to the nonprofits. The next steps are to evaluate the site for feasibility and improvements like new lighting at the entrance to the parking lot. Obviously, none of this would happen without board approval, so when that becomes necessary, I'll bring it back to the board with more detail, but I wanted to put it on your radar that they've reached out to us. They have excess money. They really have identified Oceano as a place where there's a gap in the charging infrastructure, and so they're seeking our participation in terms of allowing them to use district-owned property across the street, but I'll keep you posted on that. Okay. And that concludes my report.
Any questions here? Okay. All right, I'll close staff reports. And does anyone want to make a public comment about the reports? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to Board of Directors and outside committee reports. And for myself, I have nothing to report. And we'll go on to Vice President Rose.
I have nothing.
Okay. Director Austin.
Yes, I have a report on the Sanitation District. Okay, on our meeting October 1st, we approved and authorized the district administrator to enter into a professional services agreement with Michael K. Nunley and Associates to perform project management services for the wastewater treatment plant condition assessment project, and it was an amount of $46,000. The reason we went into this contract was because our coastal development permit that we acquired in 2017 requires that the district monitors coastal hazards and develop a plan, consider alternates for future wastewater plant relocation, while also providing for continued function and operation of the plant for the short term. In the interim, the district will be operating the plant and has a responsibility to maintain it for public safety, compliance, and protection of the environment. Historically, the district repair and R&R projects have been driven by regulatory compliance and structural or mechanical failures. Now that the redundancy project is complete, we have the ability to shut down major unit processes for inspection and maintenance. The district is working toward a responsible, proactive asset management strategy. As part of this strategy, a comprehensive condition assessment and evaluation of the district's infrastructure is necessary to assist in defining and prioritizing maintenance, rehabilitation, and replacement projects. There have been no violation of the district's permits during August and September of 2025. I'm going to give a recap of the redundancy project is complete. So the total expenditures were $43,754.706. Out of that $43,000, there was a repair to the clarifier that cracked during construction, and that was paid for by the Kennedy Jenks, the secondary clarifier. Two, construction cost reimbursement, we received $8,662,714. So our budget, original budget, was $37,400,000. And so the costs that we paid were paid by the district was $35,091,992. So we have an unspent budget of, we were under budget $2.3 million. So that under unspent project budget is going to be in our reserves for future capital improvement projects. So now I have a bunch of emails here from Mr. Varney that he was sending. He was complaining about my performance. He sent them to all the board members and all the and everybody else in the whole area here. So he says, I have not done my job. I need to be replaced immediately by someone who will do the job. So he's mistaken in his comments that I need to present the sanitation district agenda to the OCSD board, get their approval before I vote on any items. That would be against the law and a direct violation of the Brown Act. He clearly does not understand how local government works. The sanitation district is a separate public entity. State law specifies the membership of the district board as a member of each member agency. So what he is trying to do, he wants that plant moved now. But he doesn't understand that there's steps that have to be taken to reach that reality. And that's, first off, we need to furnish the sanitation services to the public in the meantime. Think about it. You know, you pick up the plant and move it. What are you going to do with all the waste? The sanitation district is doing all the appropriate actions to make this a reality. We're working within our coastal development permit, supplying all the data, sciences, and reports that are necessary. I don't know if we've even thought about the cost of this new project, but that's one thing you need to look into, too. Our agencies are functioning very well and better than it's ever been the case. The member agencies and the district are meeting our commitments and have the appropriate leadership engaged in answering these long-range community needs. I have kept the community informed and given reports at every meeting because I skipped the one last time we hear about all this, that I'm in dereliction of duty. So I apologize to my board members and the staff for all the time that's been wasted on all this. And if I wasn't doing my job, we'd hear from the real community around here, and we would have heard about it. And if anyone wants to visit the plant, you can take a tour of it anytime. You just need to call and make an appointment. Jeremy's happy to give tours. And you can attend the meetings. They rotate Grover, Aurora Grande here. It's televised. You can watch it on a slow span. And then I want to mention that there was a memorandum put out by our legal counsel. We had to pay legal counsel to make a memorandum because of all this with Mr. Varney. And so she tells the board member obligation to report back to jurisdictions if they represent at public meetings concerning district operations and financial entries. No, but we do give reports. And so just because there wasn't one given last week and he threw a fit that we've gotten into all this stuff now, and now he wants to change. He
he actually went on Google and did an AI search discrediting this attorney that knew what she was talking about, said that she didn't know what she was talking about, and he did an AI search that says, oh, no, you know, so now he wants us to put it on our agenda, make a big old stink over something that is not even needed. So I just want to say that till I hear otherwise, we're going to continue as we have been doing. And Mr. Varney can just, you know, keep sending his emails, whatever he wants to do. I don't care.
And if anyone has complicated questions, then
they can call Jeremy. They can go to the meetings. He's very much available.
Yeah.
All I have to do is report, like I can say, like for our meeting, the last one we had in November, I can give up, you know, I can read from the agenda and tell you what we did. I brought it here. But it's really, you know, not, we received and filed the final report. We had, let's see, we did the Pledge of Allegiance. We did the agenda review where there was public comments on items not on the agenda. I think Mr. Varney was there and he gave public comment. We approved the warrants and we approved the minutes of October 1st. We responded to questions from October 2025 Wastewater Project final report. And then we got the reports from our district manager and our plant operator. And this is all online. Anybody can go see it. If they're concerned or if they want me to get a question, I'd be happy to take it back. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Director Villa?
None.
And Director Joyce Sennison?
No, nothing.
Okay. Does the public have any comments on outside committee reports?
The ratepayers in Oceano have a right to understand what's going on at the sanitation district, and this meeting is one place that they get that information. At the last meeting, the previous meeting that Director Austin did not report on, there was an item where there was $2.3 million left over from the redundancy project. That money was promised to be returned to all the ratepayers. And I thought that that was an important piece of information that should be shared with the public so that they could have some input on it. So I was concerned when there wasn't a report. And I was quite concerned. I know exactly what the processes are that are in place in terms of the relocation of the sewage treatment plant. I know that it will be a project that probably won't begin until 2030, maybe not even by then, but it should because it's going to take 17 years at least to do the whole process. And I'm also a strong advocate of the public being involved and engaged in that process. So the work that I'm doing on this is to the benefit of the community, it's to the benefit of the project, and it's to the benefit of future generations. I believe in openness, transparency, and I think in that sense, I have a different set of values than Director Austin does in terms of that. And so I look forward to a more robust reporting and informing of our ratepayers. And there is no reason why these items could not be discussed in this meeting by directors when there are important things going on at the sanitation district and even giving direction or giving their opinions to the representative to take to meetings. And the legal questions are, it's a very nuanced and complex setup, and there was no demeaning of Ms. Stockton's opinion. I said that statement explicitly, and you're misquoting me and misrepresenting me, which I'm used to when you talk.
Like you
don't interrupt me. I have the floor. Please.
Calm down, everybody. Okay. Thank you for your comment.
He's way taller, and this microphone pops when you touch it, right? Julie Tacker, and that was a lot. I'm going to take this opportunity to say what I'd like to see in your reports. Mr. Varney is focused on the sanitation district, which I read their board packets and their minutes, et cetera, so I do kind of know what's going on over there. But each one of you that said you had nothing tonight didn't say whether there was a meeting that you missed or that there was no meeting at all. And I think that would, for those who do or don't follow all of these, Zone 3, OCIP, RWQCB, all these initials, if you don't tell us that there was a meeting and you didn't make it, or that you were at a meeting, then you would obviously report on what occurred at that meeting. But, you know, the most recent Zone 11A, you each know which agencies you're assigned to, and it would be best to, rather than say, I have nothing to report, that there was a meeting, I didn't attend. Or if there wasn't, or the next one's coming, and invite the folks to come. So that would be actually more transparent, and then maybe those that might be interested would also attend. A little bit to Mr. Varney's point, a few years ago in Arroyo Grande, there was some discussion about the representation from the mayor in Arroyo Grande. It's the mayor that represents the sanitation district, and that any action anticipated at the sanitation district or any other committee that those council people are on, any action that was going to take place at one of these other agencies that they all go to as their assignments like you have, that was going to trigger a cost that would then be reflective to the ratepayers of Arroyo Grande of anything over 25,000. I don't remember the number. I think it is 25,000. They were to bring that to their council and have the council discuss it and then give some guidance of how they should vote for it when they did get to that. Now, they didn't have to stick to it, like Mrs. Stockton says, but it is the guidance from the full council, because you're all going to pay based on the decision of one person at that board. So it's something to consider, and I think Mr. Varney's suggestion about bylaw changes, that's what that goes to, is have the discussion.
Thank you.
Have the discussion.
Can I? I want to give another report. I'm not going to.
Okay.
You mentioned Zone 11A, and there was not a meeting this last month, but I would like to state some information about the creek. Right now, the lagoon is topped up. It's even with the roads. And it's come in on the other, over on the Maui Circle area over across the bridge. So the lagoon is way up. And it's because there's, the floodgates are working, but when the creek's too high, they don't open. And the creek, the water is not going down in the creek. Even though the creek is running, there's an area there that there's a sandbar that is not allowing the water to drain. And nobody wants to breach it. And so that's where we're at. And right now, we're just preparing for flooding if this Thursday rain is heavy. And at my office at 1330 Lakeside, there's a lot of sandbags all filled and ready to go. And I'll fill it up if anybody needs them. So if anybody out there in the
McCarthy, Juanita, or Over the Bridge area needs sandbags, just stop and pick them up. They're free. Thank you.
So are you saying none of the entities can do
they
anything?
They don't want to cut the county and the state. We've talked to them for months because the levee, they started letting water out of Lopez because of the fish thing. Mm-hmm. So that it brought up the creek side of the water, and now the floodgates don't open manually. They're open, you know, they're new like that. They've been doing it like this for years. So now it's like the creek side is too high and the lagoon is just clogged up.
So you guys are kind of caught in the middle then.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, you know, the county says, and the state, I mean, they're all aware and they're all said, you know, just get sandbags. So that's what we're doing. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Any more public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public comment and come back to the board. So I think we'll move on to the consent agenda. Any changes or questions about what's on the consent agenda?
No.
No.
I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Well, public comment.
Real quick, President Gibson, Director Rose, I believe there was maybe one item on AF on the consent for minutes. We may have written down Director Villa as being absent, and I believe it was Director Rose and Director Joyce Sunderson. So I've made a note of that, and I can share that with Ms. Cassiola. Is that correct, Director Gibson? Or Director Rose? Okay.
That was page 7, 8F action okay. items.
Got it. That's all I noted.
Okay. All right, we'll take public comment.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and I wanted to speak to the cash disbursements, item 7B, page 8 of your staff report, staff packet, specifically to the expenditure of $8,200 to Don Maruska Incorporated. There is a footnote that speaks to $1,950 or 10 times a dollar, $195, to Talent Insights. I did some public records requests and got some data associated with this expenditure. The Talent Insights 10 times $195 are 10 surveys and reports that when you go on the Talent Insights website, the same survey and report can be purchased for $30 each. So I don't know why we are paying many times over for the same product. The Mr. Maruska's $6,250 of that $8,200 is just half of his contract. There's still half to go. And I don't know if you're having trouble finding it, but the total is $14,450 for this company to facilitate a sort of a team building program for your staff and your general manager. And I would like to know who authorized it, because I did not find it in your minutes and your staff was unable to give me that information, who authorized this expenditure. I am left to guess that your general manager is using his spending authority, which he has up to $25,000 in spending authority, but the caveat is that it's on items that are in your budget. This exercise, this $14,450, was not in your budget. This agreement was entered into in August, and you guys passed a budget in June and had no discussions about this kind of exercise for your staff. So I'd like to know more about it.
Thank you.
And so should you.
Thank you for your comment. Okay, anyone else?
President Gibson, of note, I think in the item 7C, where Ms. Cassiola presents our first quarter investment report, I sent the board an email, but I just wanted to highlight because in the quarter, we had a $36,900 increase in our interest income. So that is primarily as a result of the work that Ms. Cassiola and myself are doing, ensuring that our assets are liquid, available, and earning interest in the time being when we're not spending our cash. And I think that's noteworthy that that you know the management of that has yielded just in the last quarter about $37,000. So that's nice work. So kudos there. That was my only comment. Other comment on this consent agenda.
Okay, good to know. Okay, seeing any more public comment? Okay, we'll come back to the board. And is there a motion? Did you start a motion?
Green had a motion.
Yeah,
I started it. Okay, I move that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
With corrections?
With corrections.
Yeah. Okay.
Seconded.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Roll call, please.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay. Okay, business item. Review and discussion of fiscal implications of the district's participation in water transfers as a state water contractor within Solo County.
Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. I wanted to take some time, as you noted in the staff report, to really explain where this is coming from, how we got here. I worked with the county to kind of run some numbers to figure out, since we started using state water in 1997, how much of the 25,000 acre feet that the county contracts for is lost to spill on in an average year. It turns out it's 8,000 acre feet. So I'm going to show some slides. I'll show San Luis Reservoir, which is the kind of the only place where we can store state water for Slo County. And what that has told the county and subcontractors like us that are affected is we need to do a better job of actively managing the resource so that we can basically turn that, if we're not using it, we can transfer it and turn it into sale credits, dollars for the ratepayers. So that's really what's been going on. And there's a lot of detail in your staff report about how that happened. I wanted to piggyback on a presentation that the county gave that I've updated. The county gave it as an update to the NCMA back in October, and I've updated it for the November 12th meeting. But I'll walk through a couple dozen slides that kind of goes over the program as we go. So just real quick, state water project background, the new transfer policy, and how we're going to implement it, and then we'll have any questions at the end. Here's a look at the State Water Project Canal. We're going to show a few slides and pictures of the system. I think this is good to do from time to time, and then talk about next steps for potential new users. The recently updated policies were updated by the Flood Control District in July of 2025. I worked heavily with the county to make sure that our interests as subcontractors were protected there. And as you all know, SGMA stands for Sustainable Groundwater Management Areas, the LOPES, and overall basin management challenges are significant countywide, and this transfer policy is one of the tools we can use in order to offset pumping or use of LOPES water. Here's a look at Orville Dam. I think this is from 2023, and this is the primary storage for the state water project. It provides supplemental water to 29 state water project contractors, and San Luis Obispo County and Santa Barbara County on the coastal branch are each one of those subcontractors. And you'll probably remember from your geography, there's two water systems in California. One's the federal, the California Water Project, and the state water project is also one. The federal project uses Shasta as its primary holding. And here's a look at all of the jurisdictions, mostly municipal, except for the dark purple, which is agricultural. But for primary purposes, it is just the municipal use. Here's a look at San Luis Reservoir. This is the main area where state water is pumped up to be stored for subcontractors like us. And this is a pretty unique system where there is hydroelectric, and they pump the water up into the dam at night when rates are low, and they use it to charge and create energy during the day. So this is a pretty useful system. This is also the location where we've spilled a lot of water over the years. Here is a look at where the State Water Project breaks off at the coastal branch connection. So kind of in the mid-lower part of the stream, the screen, you see a smaller branch. That's the coastal branch breaking off the State Water Project in the Central Valley. And I will say that there are recent discussions about subsidence and measurements of subsidence, and it looks like we are going to run into a new problem whereby the main canal, because of groundwater pumping and agricultural use, the main canal is sinking down, and it may sink down to a point where we can no longer get water into the coastal branch. And so that is a big concern for San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. And I've been partaking in some discussions on some of the tools and resources available. The primary one is to reduce the pumping that's happening that's causing the subsidence. But that's a tricky one because of water rights and access there. Here's a look at the La Perilla pump station, which pumps the water up to Polonio Pass, where it's treated for the coastal branch. And this is a critical state water project facility for the coastal branch. And we can go to the next one. Here's a look at Polonio Pass, which is when you drive out 46 from Paso Robles, and there's a Y where the 41 goes to Fresno and the 46 goes to Bakersfield. This is just past the Y. You can see one of the portions of the Polonio treatment plant is in the lower area, and then the major is kind of that white area at the top. It's a little tough to see with this slide, but that is where the state water is treated and then delivered down to the coastal branch. Here's a look at the pipe being constructed, I think, back in 1995 when the coastal branch was being connected, a nice little historical shot. And then here's a map of those things we talked about in the top right corner where the coastal branch comes off, comes up to Polonio Pass, and then comes down into San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. There are three turnouts in the county, Slo County system for Shandon, the Chorro Valley, which serves primarily Morro Bay, although Los Osos is interested in connecting to that Chorro Valley pipeline in the future. And then, of course, the Lopez turnout, the one we're most familiar with, which serves the South County. Again, I think I just talked about this. The Department of Water Resources, SLO and Santa Barbara counties, and the Central Coast Water Authority are all the partners here on the coastal branch. It was completed in 97, and I just mentioned the turnouts. So we can keep going here. So the new transfer policy, why the updates? In 2003, there were excess entitlement policies that were developed, but they haven't really been used. And when we revisited them the last few years, they were pretty outdated. And I did include as an attachment to your packet the new updated policies. I think the 2003 policies were about two or three pages, and now we have a lot more robust policies that look to maximize the use of the state water project allocation. We also need to align the policies with our master contracts, and we're interested, as we'll see at the end of the slide, creating flexibility for transfers and exchanges. It does ensure, so this is the thing that for having someone like me at the table, I want to ensure existing subcontractors get priority. So if there's any changes, if there's any excess water, if there's any need, if you're an existing subcontractor, you get first priority to that water, and that's in place in the new policies. It does promote resiliency and regional collaboration, and we're looking to recover historic and ongoing investments fairly for new contractors or new service delivery. Again, kind of similarly, we have the first right of refusal. Local agencies get the priority for emergency, and then domestic, and then agricultural, and then other use. An example of another use could be groundwater recharge or storage. The preferred place of use is at the original location. And then we're prioritizing internal temporary transfers before we allow for external transfers. It turns out that each year, last year and this year, it's the external transfers where we're able to benefit OCSD. This is pretty broad. If you're a subcontractor, if you're a public water agency, a groundwater sustainable agency, a sustainability agency, a mutual water company, or any CPUC regulated utilities, you can have access to state water here in the county's new policies. The user will pay. There are no new costs to existing contractors. And the third bullet that I've highlighted and have had support from folks like Morro Bay and Pismo Beach, investment recovery needs to be in place in order to fairly recapture past infrastructure and task-based investments. And what that means is we decided, your board decided, 30 years ago to participate in state water. And we've been paying into it since then. And so if someone new wants to come along, there needs to be some level of recovery for the existing folks that have been investing and charging the ratepayers since then. And so that's in place in the policies now. Emergency supply, just some new transfer policy examples of beneficial use. Groundwater recharge I mentioned. In-lieu supply to reduce pumping in overdrafted basins. So again, this kind of comes to areas where maybe groundwater is being drawn too much or has been. And we can use state water, and then partnering with neighboring agencies for shared resilience. We're compliant with CEQA. We've met the DWR requirements, and we're also meeting all local land use and water governance with the new policies. And then next steps for the San Luis Obispo Flood Control and Water Conservation District, that's the district referred to in these bullets from the county, is to solicit requests. So who out there locally in the county first and then outside the county is interested in supplemental state water. The district will evaluate those requests and let the board review those. The district will work with existing subcontractors like OCSD on voluntary transfers. One option for us would be it would be very easy to deliver water to Grover Beach or Rio Grande on a temporary basis if they needed state water and we had excess state water. And then I bolded the district is to develop administrative procedures and draft amendments. I've been working with the staff trying to assist them on some of those administrative procedures so that they meet subcontractors' needs. We do need contract amendments. Ms. Cassiola printed out for my nighttime reading our existing buffer contract and our existing state water contract. Those will both need to be updated, and the board will have to approve those. So I'll work on what those updates should be. And I'll bring those back to the board, hopefully in 2026, for updates and alignment. And here's the last slides that I think are super important for everyone to realize. Last year, we, based on unused entitlements, we were able to secure $143,000 in state water credits, which we used to offset our state water bill. So that's money that the ratepayers didn't have to come up with that we were able to use last year. And that's a big windfall. It's the first time I'm aware of that we've been able to do this. And then this coming year, we, again, Mr. Maricino and myself, we make sure that we use all the Lopez water because it's lower cost. We use groundwater fairly sparingly, and we use state water as needed. And it turns out, if you go to the next slide, for the upcoming year, we expect even more in state water credits this year because there have been interested parties within the state water system that have been willing to buy the county's excess water, and we get a portion of that. And this year, we think it's going to be around $180,000. So just wanted the board to know and the constituents to know that we're proactively looking to keep costs down as much as possible and take advantage of the state water that we're not needing and not using. I don't think we're at the point where we want to change our 750-acre feet of supplemental water allocation, but it is nice on a year-by-year basis to take advantage of the water that we're not ordering. And then I think, in summary, I think there's three bullets I thought were worth bolding. The second one, the policies affirm the subcontractor's first right of refusal for surplus water. We're working on that cost recovery and revenue-generating opportunities, as we've seen in the last 2 years. If you total them together, that's $320,000 that we're saving in expenditures in state water. And the contract amendments, I'm going to have to work with you, Mr. Schultz. There's going to be a detailed review of how we modernize the district water management options and get those contracts up to date. And then if there's anything else, again, just a reminder that it's a supplemental source, and the new policies are open the door for developing opportunities for new users. So again, if there's a new state water subcontractor, that's going to change the game, and those folks are going to have to probably pay more than the original subcontractors. So I'm happy to take any questions, but this is an informational report. We don't need board authorization to accept the $180,000 next year. I think we're good to go on that. But really, we're being creative, and we're modernizing the contracts and the transfer policies. So happy to take any board's questions.
I had a couple. Can you explain to the public how spillage occurs and how they measure that, et cetera?
Yeah. So what happens with reservoirs is during rainy times, they fill up. And when demand doesn't meet the supply, in order to make room for more rain and more water to come into the reservoir operator has to open the gates and release water. So what happens in those cases is the water that's in the reservoir has been allocated to certain jurisdictions, and that's what we call water loss to spill. And so what happens from water year one to the next, and I think, well, like I said, the calculation we did for San Luis Reservoir, it averaged 8,000 for the whole county. That's not for OCSD, but 8,000 acre feet on average every year between 1997 and 2023. And that's during drought years. So in the drought years, we don't typically lose a lot to spill, but in the wet years, we do. And so, yeah, that's an issue that you have to deal with when you're operating or soliciting water from a reservoir.
So how do you avoid that spillage?
Well, you can. There's only so much you can do. Like, you know, we have two tanks. We order enough water basically on a daily and weekly basis to have for all our constituents. The only way really to deal with it is to have a supplemental storage area, which we don't have for the state water and we don't have for Lopez. You know, the fact that we're at 80% now in Lopez, if we just take that as an example, we have 2 inches coming this in the next couple days, about that. We're in a really good position to be able to absorb that. And I personally am hoping for a wet winter because I would love to see Lopez back at 90, 95, 100% full. But if we're at that place, say, come February or March, and more rains come, there will be water released, and it could affect, it could cause spill and loss of allocation during that water year for subscribing jurisdictions.
Also, if we were going to change our 750 acre feet, at what time of year do you think that would happen, or is it just random according to the weather? Or?
Well, that's the amount we're contracted for, so we're right. Probably not going to change that. I think a better way to think of it, if I'm understanding your question correctly, President Gibson, is the excess water that we're selling this year to get us 180,000, that is water that is stored in San Luis Reservoir. So the county and the subcontractors have kind of talked about the fact that based on how full San Luis Reservoir is, based on how much we want to keep in storage, and based on the chance that if we have a wet year, we could lose that water, there's 8,000 acre feet that's getting sold that we don't think we can use. So yeah. It's just a matter of looking ahead, making sure that everybody's contracts are filled and everybody's ordered all the water they want. And when all that's been met, if we have a willing buyer, we can sell the water at market rate.
Okay. Yeah, I know prior to the miracle rains, the county was coming up with some stopgap emergency plans. And one of them was that they were going to give new members to the subcontractors that they would have the same price as we did.
Yeah.
And we've been paying all these years, so that didn't happen.
It didn't happen, and the new policies basically make it clear that there needs to be some level of cost recovery.
Yeah, because so, yeah. Otherwise, why are we paying all this money? Okay. I need to be excused. Okay. Oops. excused. Okay, I think that those were all my questions, so I'm glad we're going to be prepared.
Okay. So then I think all we need to do is take public comment, and then this is an information item, so.
Yeah. Okay, is there any public comment on state water?
Just quickly, I really appreciate this report that the general managers put together. I think this is real leadership that is benefiting all of the subcontractors in San Luis Obispo County, and is going to be very helpful. My one question, Mr. Brown, is in terms of the contract modifications that you're talking about, are we in a position where we're unilaterally modifying our side of the contract, or how are we connected with the other side on that?
President Giffen, if I may, the contract changes really relate to the fact it's two main issues. One is the updated policies that the board has adopted are not properly reflected in the contract. So the level of flexibility, how we go about transfers, those need to be reflected in the contract so that it's clear when we need permission from the county and the flood control district or whether we can do something on our own based on our existing contract. So the contracts with the policy update, the contracts are a bit out of date, and so they need to be realigned. The same is true with the buffer, the 750 acre feet of buffer that we have. That is a little misaligned with the county's master contract, so we need to update that. And so it's more about modernizing the contracts that were written in the 90s to make sure they're aligning with the current policies.
Any more public comment? Okay, so is this just receive and file then?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, we'll move to item B, consideration of Oceano Capital Improvements Project Committee member appointments.
Thank you, President Gibson. As you're well aware, the Capital Improvement Committee is a new committee that we formed this year. For the most part, it replaced our OBFAB committee, our finance committee, and it has had a charge to focus on our big expenditures and our capital improvements, but really also to look at what we're doing as a district for our sewer side, for our water side, for our facilities side. We've had two meetings in May and in August. It looks like this committee will probably continue to meet quarterly, and we can always make it more frequent if we need to. The committee, the last time it met, reviewed in detail our sewer CIP, which the board then saw after the fact, after the committee gave input, and I will say made some significant and important improvements to the plan before it came to the board. So that's the role of the advisory committee, just to do a kind of a recap. I think, fair and accurate to state that this was a project that President Gibson was very interested in and helped create this committee. And unfortunately, she has submitted a letter of interest to resign from the committee. And so the purpose of this item is really to find a replacement for the board. The bylaws state that two board members sit on the committee. And so pretty simple, if the board wants to discuss it, hear from the public, and then potentially there may be a recommendation or a nomination for a replacement for President Gibson's seat on that committee.
Okay. So what's the board's pleasure?
What was the question?
About, replacing my seat.
No, I was interested. I am interested in that position.
And so Linda was the other person from our board, right?
Yes, she's still on there. So, yeah. And Director Joyce Sunderson, you were interested, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I wonder if we should wait till next meeting when we have a full board?
We certainly could. That could be at the pleasure of the board to continue the item. I did want to thank Director Joyce Sunderson. She did attend the last OSIP meeting and participated in seeing how the meeting functions. And I know Director Rose is also interested. So if either of you want to talk to me any more about the committee, I'm happy to do that. But if it's the board's pleasure to continue the item, that's fine with staff.
Yeah, I think continue it. That'll be simpler. Okay, then item C, review of South County Sanitary Services index-based rate adjustment.
Thank you, President Gibson. This will be my final report of the evening. I'm happy to say that we did do a pretty extensive process where there's a rate application that's put forward by the South County Sanitary Services. Ms. Cassiola and I both reviewed that rate application. And the city of San Luis Obispo put together a relatively low cost, I think it was around $1,250, to have R3 consulting group do an independent review of that rate application to make sure that it is commensurate with the new rate methodology that the board adopted back in January. I'm happy to report that it was consistent. We checked the math, we ran the numbers. And I'm appreciative of Ms. Cassiola's help in making sure that everything went smoothly in terms of that review. I participated in some of the question and answers and making sure that all the numbers checked out. And so it does look like, based on the new methodology, the South County Sanitary Agency is entitled to a 5.13% increase this fiscal year. Most of that is related to the CPI, which is going to carry the bulk of the changes as we go forward. It's going to be the consumer price index changes for Southern California that we've put in our franchise agreement. A smaller percentage of that increase really relates to the contract in the franchise agreement changes that allow them to go from a 9% to a 10% profit margin. And since we're at that now, that adjustment won't be seen throughout the next 4 years of the five-year approval that the board gave in January. So it's a little complicated. It's a little nuanced. So I'm happy to take any of the board's questions. But the bottom line is your board has already approved 5 years of increases as long as they're commensurate with the rate methodology and the franchise agreement, and our analysis shows that they are. And we also wanted to include the October 30th memo from R3 Consulting that shows that they concur that the rate application meets the franchise agreement and the new methodology. And so it's nice to have that independent review that ensures that things are lining up and adding up, really.
So basically, this is just a look back at what we already did.
Yeah, it's a look. It's a look at how rates are going to change in January. So we're looking at 5.13%. And I know that, you know, in my past experience, and I know your experience, these solid waste rates have been fairly volatile. We've seen 8 and 10 and 17 mm-hmm. and 15% increases. One thing we like about the new methodology is it's more predictable. We think it's more fair, and it should, in general, lead to more moderate changes in the rates, and we're seeing that this year. I think the 3 to 5% or whatever CPI is should be the bulk of the change going forward for the last 4 years of the rate approval that we've adopted.
Yeah, so that was a big project we got done. Important. Okay, board, have any comments, questions? Okay, we'll open up public comment on sewer rates.
Garbage,
sorry.
Again, I think this is really just a very well-done, professional, informative staff report by the general manager and the business manager. This is an opportunity for, I was what caught my eye in the whole thing, and I read it all, I learned a lot, was item 8C, the other financial considerations, which is where we get some money back from them to, you know, finance our curbside pickup of a couple times a year for each ratepayer, going out and cleaning up streets where people, I mean, we are still a dump ground for mattresses, refrigerators, mm-hmm. bags of trash, whatever, you know, in Oceano, especially on 22nd Street between Highway 1 and the levee. So I hate to burden the staff with my questions. I also hate to burden the utilities crew when I call in a 311 thing. I don't think it's like the greatest use of their time. And I sent these questions to the staff beforehand. What are the differences between the franchise fee and the $11,000 landfill savings? How much utility staff time is spent on cleaning up illegal dumping? How much is spent on hiring private contractors to pick up illegal dumping? And bottom line, what is the county's responsibility for picking up illegal dumping? We are unincorporated, as we all know. So thank you. Oh, and then my pet peeve, the 311 thing. Downloading the app, I've tried a bunch of times. I just can't get that thing to work. And would it make sense to just set up a form on the website where I can just come in and go like, garbage on 22nd Street mm-hmm. between Highway 1 and so-and-so or whatever. And people can report it that way. They might be more willing to do that. Thank you.
Thank
on
you.
Our website. I would like it too.
Any more public comment?
Just so I understand, Director Villa, are you talking about a form on the website or a link on the website where you can click just to report?
Yes, because I did years ago, I can't even remember how many years, 2 or 3 years ago, I downloaded the app. And I tried to get it to work, and I couldn't get it to work. And I asked somebody else, I think it was Bonnie, we were doing some cleanup ourselves, and she couldn't either. So I thought, why do they make it so complicated? It's like, this is something that, you know, we want done, and we should be able to do it.
We can work on user-friendly link on the website where
maybe
you can
report.
Maybe
they've improved it, but I was discouraged, and I never tried again. Yeah. So on our website, it would be awesome, because I think that's where most people would go to see, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
And there might be one helpful thing on our website. If you go to the Contact Us page and there's drop-downs under subject, you can hit illegal dumping and write the exact location. So that'll also email us, not just the Ready 311 app.
Okay.
But there are some that use the app.
So it's already there somewhere?
It's not through Ready 311. It just email us directly through our Contact Us page, oceanocsd.org.
Okay.
But I can work with staff to make it a little more prominent and
easier I haven't seen it there, so.
To find.
I take your word that it's there.
No, you're fine.
No. And again, this is an information item. The board has already adopted the 5-year rates, so no action is required, but public comment is, which we'll get to the next item in a second.
Any other public comment? Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll bring it back to the board and receive and file. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
President, if I might interrupt, it's been brought to my attention. We did not open the public comment, though, on the last item, which had to do with the appointment of potentially a new member, although we continued that item, so you didn't make a decision and didn't really deliberate. We should go back to that item just to make certain there was no public comment on that item. So if we could reopen that, and if not, then we can just close it and continue it.
Okay, so that's item B.
8B?
Yeah, 8B.
I apologize. Just to open it.
So we'll open public comment on that. Consideration of the Oceano Capital Improvement Project Committee Member Appointment. Any comment on that? Okay. Okay. Seeing no comments, we'll come back to the board and that item will be continued to a future date. Okay, and now we have a D, resolution of intention to approve the amendment to the contract between the Board of Administration of California Public Employees Retirement System and the Board of Directors of OCSD.
Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. So here today we have a resolution of intention to amend our district's CalPERS agreement for the district safety plan. So this is the retirement plan that was related to the Oceano Fire Department, which provided services to the district before we merged with the city of Arroyo and the city of Grover Beach to form the Five Cities Fire Authority. So just a quick trip down how we got here. As you guys know, we went through two special tax measures that did not pass. Then in 2023, we initiated our divestiture service to divest our fire service to the county, which your board worked on all through 2024 and 2025, and it was later approved by LAFCO. Since then, the district and the county, we've approved a number of agreements, our property tax transfer agreement, our property transfer agreement, and two lease agreements associated with the two properties. So our final step is to close out the district's Oceano Fire Department retirement plan, which is our CalPERS safety plan. So this agreement remained with the district. As you remember, part of those agreements with our divestiture, we passed on our Five Cities Fire Authority liabilities to the county, and they took those over. That plan is active. There's still employees in there. This plan has 8 inactive retirees, and we are here today because we've received our report from the CalPERS actuaries, and it is the report attached to your agenda item, which is called our termination report. This termination report includes the unfunded liability that is required for us to pay to close out this account and us to be done with it. That amount will be $189,270. So the unfunded liability will be paid out of general fund reserves. That balance is at $216,709, leaving us with a remaining balance in general fund reserves of $27,439. So our next step is to, after this, once we review this and approve the intent, we have to do a final approval resolution, transmit that as well. So this will come back once again. This isn't the final item. We expect to have that final resolution done by December for your December 10th meeting. So with that, if there's any questions on the termination report, the intent resolution, or any other questions on how we got here, I'd be happy to answer them.
Just one question for me. Why didn't we pay the full amount? You know, I have a balance of $27,000.
Oh, so that we have $216,000 in our general reserves.
Okay.
Once we pay this, we'll only have $27,000 left. So okay. I'm just telling you what the remaining balance of generals. Yeah,
okay.
The entire amount will be the $189,270 to close out this plan.
They're going to take every cent, aren't they? Okay.
Just to let you know, we started working on this a long time ago, but we had to wait until all the divestiture process was done. And my first quote came back higher than this, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is better.
Yeah.
In May of 2024, this wasn't the number. It was like we're more around 210.
Mm. Wow. Okay. All right. Board, any questions?
Comments? No, needs to be done.
Okay. Public comment on this? Unfunded liabilities? Okay. Seeing no public comment, I'll bring it back to the board. Do we want a motion on this?
Do you need one?
Yeah, consider a resolution.
Okay, a motion that we approve. Let's see, where is it? Where is it?
It's D. There, yeah.
A motion that we approve the resolution of intention to approve the amendment of the contract between the Board of Administration of California Public Employees Retirement System and the Board of Directors of Oceana Community Service District.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a first and a second.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. So, Ms. Cassiola, are you going to give us the, Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. So, President Gibson, members of the board, in item 8E, we have the district's fiscal year 2025-2026 first quarter budget review as of September 30th, 2025. So, we're going to go over each fund. We're going to go over revenues and expenditures, front-loaded expenses, which are the expenses we pay at the beginning of the year, and then they remain pretty much the same for the rest of the year. Then any high variances in revenues and expenditures. And as of right now, there are no budget adjustments for the first quarter. So we're going to begin with the administration fund. So this starts on page 108 of your packet. This is where our property taxes are collected from the county. And as you remember, part of our divestiture, we only received 2.85% of our property taxes compared to what we received in previous years. Overall expenditures are tracking under budget, as you can see. The front-loaded expenses, so the expenses that we have paid in the beginning but will remain pretty much the same for the rest of the year, are the CalPERS UAL payment. Now, that is for the other CalPERS plans we have. We still have a miscellaneous, which includes all our staff, and then also classic employees, which includes our staff. Those aren't the safety plans. We also have permits, fees, and license. Those are high because we pay our Muni Code payment early in the year. Our district's liability insurance is paid at the beginning of the year. Our local agency formation commission annual fee, LAFCO fee, and our annual software maintenance all occur in the first quarter. Earlier, Director Villa asked about wages in each fund, and so I wasn't able to edit them to look very nice, but I did a quick clip of here in the administration fund. This is where all the staff that works here in this building, so the general manager, the business accounting manager, the two account administrators, and our part-time account administrator are all here. And you can see as of June 30th, we've spent about 22% of that budget, and we look to save about $61,000 in by the end of the year. So that is just for our administration services.
Then, Ms. Cassiola, real quick. When you say we look to save $61,000, does that mean that if this level of savings that happened in the first quarter continues for each of the next three quarters, that would be the annual savings?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. The second to last column is estimated as of the end of, like as if it was June 30th, 2026.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. We budget as if everyone is at the top position, and then because you never know if someone leaves, you might hire someone at a different step than what someone currently lives. Mm-hmm. Okay, our first fund in the general fund is the lighting fund. So here you can see we have a pretty good savings in expenditures of about $9,840. Most of this savings comes from the cost of lighting, and as you guys know, the time just changed, so that savings is probably going to dwindle as the next two quarters go on. Our Parks and Recreation Fund here has about a savings of $5,159. As you know, in the first quarter, the only expenditure was for T-shirts at the Oceano Elementary track grand opening of $750. So that is the only use of that O-Park activities line item so far this year. In our facilities fund, you can see here, it looks as though our revenues are going to be higher than expected. So this is because with the new lease, which we talked about a little bit in our divestiture item previously, the new lease requires the district to schedule, coordinate, and pay for all maintenance at the substation. And then we take those payments to contractors or even if it's our staff that are there, and we get reimbursed by the county. So you see the increase to revenues is then later to be used in expenditures under our maintenance line item there, because we will be what comes in is based on what we've paid to maintenance that building.
And if I could add to that real quick, it's a $17,000 annual allotment that Mr. Schultz and I got the county to agree to. They pay for the first $17,000 in any given fiscal year. Anything above that for the maintenance of the substation is on us, to the extent that it can be deducted from an eventual sale price. And so we're working as hard as we can to try to keep the expenditures and the maintenance of the building. And this has been a particularly busy year since July 1. I think we're at about $14,000 or $15,000 of that $17,000 already. But those have all been needed repairs that we've taken on. But again, every new fiscal year, that 17K cap will reset.
Yes, and then here under the facilities fund, we have our operators that can work in there to, they'll cope their time to there if they're helping out with a maintenance project over there. And you see here in the first quarter, they spent $1,276,000, which is about 28%, which, because as Mr. Brown spoke to, there have been a number of items that have happened over there in the first quarter. You can see we're expected to be over, but then again, when we go to get reimbursed by the county, we include our staff time for the reimbursement, mm-hmm. so that we do get reimbursed for that. So then on to our enterprise funds. The first one will be our water fund. The revenues, we've collected two of our six billing cycles in the first quarter. As a result, you can see the district under water sales, we've collected 36% of our budget. Again, that's kind of, it seems like a lot, but that's because seasonally we expect the July and the September months to always be higher because there's less rain. And so we've provided a graph on 123 of your packet. And this shows basically a four-year comparison where you'll see the first two cycles are always a lot higher. Then we're getting into winter and we'll slow down and be closer to what we budgeted in our adopted budget. Also, front-loaded expenditures that occur every year in the water fund, as you guys know, is our Lopez and State Water. Under memberships, we pay for our Cal Rural Water Authority membership. That looks like it's high, but we'll level out. And then also our annual encroachment permit with the county is included in there. One item under expenditures that is running high is our maintenance on structures. And that's because the district, we requested some assistance from our baker to replace a 6-inch valve on Paul Place. They replaced two service lines with two new water meters on Wilmar. And then they also installed an angle stop with a meter. So there was some work there that caused that line item to be high, but we expect that to level off in the next three quarters. And then under salaries and wages, this is our operators again. We have a utility systems manager and then four utility systems operators. And so here under the water fund, you see that they've expended about 17% of the budget. And that's for $44,916. They also get overtime every time they're on call. So you'll see their overtime here is $4,195 in the first quarter. We do expect a pretty large savings there of about $108,846 if we continue on the same path. But you'll see in the next item. We have wastewater fund. So same goes for the wastewater revenues as it did the water. Not so much with seasonal, but two of our six billing cycles have been collected in the first quarter. In this fund, you'll see that 25% of our budget of revenues have been collected, which is what we expect because most of our customers are flat rate. And it's at that higher rate, no longer the 1949, but the 38. So the expenditures, you can see, are tracking well under budget at only 18% expended in the first quarter. So under salaries and wages here for the wastewater fund for our operators in the first quarter, they only spent $9,919 in there. And then also their overtime when they do rounds includes the lift station. So you'll see there's a pretty large saving here, but that's because as Mr. Marincino spoke to, they're about to switch over to jetting for the last half of the year to comply with the SSMP, Sewer System Management Plan. So they are required to jet a number of miles, so that's what they'll be working on in the next quarter. So you'll see that jump up in our second quarter review. The solid waste fund. So the solid waste revenues are estimated to come in higher than budgeted. Again, a lot of that has to do with our board move to go from collecting at 5% of franchise fees. We get a franchise fee from the SSSC, the waste management company, and we used to be at 5%. Now we're at 10%, so you see it's a much larger amount than it was in the past, and that's about to go up because their rates are going up as well. And then under expenditures, you can see we're coming under budget, but there was one line item that was sticking out, and that is our trash cans. We had two different customers reach out to us. Actually, they don't have to be customers. Two different organizations reached out to us. One was the Oceano Elementary School PTA. They paid. They applied for the program, the Adopt-A-Can program, and installed one there on 19th Street. And then the Girl Scout group, 4415, installed one on Pier Avenue. So you'll see those two are both now in our system.
And if I may add.
Yeah, of course.
So one of the standard practices in the solid waste industry, just like any other utility that you operate, sewer, water, is to build adequate reserves for issues that come up. And we're just beginning that phase of building adequate reserves for our solid waste utility. But I will say that if we continue to build reserves, I think the last time we got up around $400,000 or $500,000, the board made the decision to use some of those reserves to offset rate increases. And I just want to let you know that we will also bring that option to the board as we get toward that adequate reserve. You will have the option to offset the one item we heard before, 5.13%. Mm-hmm. In a few years, if we get a similar or even a high one, maybe it's a higher year, we have the opportunity to dip into these to relieve some of the impact to ratepayers. And so we'll keep that in mind as we meet those adequate reserves.
And then to cover the salary wages in the solid waste fund, you'll see here staff, the operation staff, has expended about 4,353%, which is only 13% of the budget. And as Mr. Maricino spoke to, there's, 311 tickets that we receive, and that's when they code their time to trash. Also, we get phone calls as well for items that have been dumped illegally. So with that, if there are any specific questions on any line items, on any of the slides, I'm happy to answer them.
I don't have a question, but I do have a report about Parks and Rec. I just remembered.
Yeah.
So this, the T-shirt expense, actually what had happened was the company that did it for us made a slight error, an error that is really hard to find. And they have gone ahead and said, well, we made an error on your order. So they're giving us a duplicate order, which we can sell at fundraisers at the events.
Very cool.
So,
yeah.
That's nice.
Nice for us, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Any other questions of Carrie?
No.
Okay, any public comment?
Good evening again. I'm going to take you back to that $14,450 for Mr. Maruska on page, I forgot, here it is. Page 14 of your board packet, if you go to the line item where he gets a check for $8,200, then you go all the way to the right, it gives you an account code, which is 5-4100-220 for professional services. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to Carrie's report and you look for that same account code,
The budget for that, professional services in administration, this year was $38,750. To the date of this report, September 30th, you had spent $10,492. And then it shows, as Mr. Brown was explaining, that you got that savings from the over the next quarters. It's an estimate. This is an estimate, and it shows that you're trending over budget by $3,216 if you extrapolate it over the whole year. The $14,450 was not part of the budget for this line item. And that is where I want you to dig in and find out how that happened. Because Mr. Brown, while he does have a spending authority, the policy specifically states that it's a budgeted item, that he can spend that up to $25,000. It's not in the budget. Didn't happen. If he had brought it to you tonight as a budget adjustment, then you would be it'd be in front of you to approve. But it's not here. So that's what it's been 3 minutes here and 3 minutes there to get you to here. Wasn't budgeted for.
Thank you for your comment. Okay, any more public comment on the budget? Any other information? Okay, I think that's just receiving file. Okay, and next, hearing items. Oh, yeah, hearing items.
President Gibson, no hearing items. The next item is receive written communication, and we did want to include, at least I wanted to include in the board packet on page 125, the received communication from the State Water Resources Control Board that talked about our final stormwater capture and groundwater recharge project report. So we're happy to report that that project is complete. We've received all of our funding, and we're heading into the rainy season, and we expect that stormwater capture and groundwater recharge project to continue to do what it does, prevent flooding in our streets and recharge the groundwater. And we do have a flow meter on there, and we do have the ability to pull it and check just how much water is being put in there. And so probably come the springtime, we'll go ahead and do that and let you know how successful of a rainy season we've had at that project. But kudos to staff. This project started long before I was here. And it's grant funded, but it has been a lot of work for staff, and it's in place and working well and not conflicting with the new track. So yeah. All good there.
Yep.
Good. We're project. Responsible for the maintenance, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So we'll be doing that on a regular basis. So every so.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty self-sustaining. We do need to make sure that, you know, there's nothing clogging it or preventing the recharge from happening, but you'd know that right away because you'd see water not going in where it should go in. So, yeah.
Okay, future agenda items?
Okay. We're going to continue the one item. We can probably do it at the next meeting. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'll take a motion to adjourn from someone.
A motion that we adjourn.
I second that.
Okay, first and second. A motion to adjourn.
Director Joyce Sunnison.
Yes.
President Gibson.
Yes.
Director Rose.
Yes.
And Director Bia.
Yes.